This is Barkley with One Big Church Radio. Thrilled to have two of my favorite people, Stacey Tarrant and Mayor. Mayor, what's your last name? I always call you Mayor.
Mayor Knox.
Mayor Knox, there you are, with New Spring Church. And I just want to start out by saying thank you so much for being a part of this, because this is super exciting. We're all kind of the same age, and what you guys have done and accomplished with the youth ministry at New Spring is phenomenal. And they are blessed to have you guys. And I'm excited to hear about what you guys are working on. And just some advice for folks that are listening that want to have something as successful as what you guys have going on. So, Stacey, let's start with you, if you wouldn't mind. Kind of give us your role at New Spring and when you came on board, and explain to us your accent. You're from Australia.
Yes. Well, first of all, thanks for interviewing us, Barkley. This is a whole lot of fun. So, I've been living in the States for 3 years, actually, in May. I was a student pastor in Queensland, Australia for 4 years, and then came over to be a part of New Spring. Just felt God call me over here. And so I have the awesome honor and privilege of being the creative director for our Fuse student ministry. So I get to oversee all services, whatever happens inside of a service. So band, videos, preaching, series that we're doing, all that stuff. I kind of oversee it and make sure that it's going in the right direction. And then I get to be on the teaching team as well for Fuse. So I get to get on stage and preach a little bit every now and then, and absolutely love it. So
that's awesome. Well, I've heard you preach, and you are awesome. And tell me how many services you guys have, how many campuses, and I mean, what's your student ministry size?
Right now we have 12 permanent campuses and then 3 community campuses. I think that's right. Mayor and I, just counting on our fingers, it's changed recently, but let's say 11 permanent campuses and 4 community campuses.
There's a lot. You know, there's a lot of them.
That's a lot. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. How many students you guys have?
Right now on average about
3,100,
and then about 800 volunteers in a week. So a lot.
That's incredible. And Mayor, what about you? Tell us what your position is and your role with Fuse.
Yeah, so I started with Fuse. Oh, and let me explain my accent. It is the East Coast of North Carolina. So
I was wondering. Yeah. I was wondering.
I knew you were wondering. So anyways, I started interning with Fuse back in 2009 as a college student, and then stepped on full-time staff in 2010, have held a variety of roles, but Fuse has always been my heart. And now I'm the Fuse training director, so essentially that means anything that has to do with volunteers, groups, also training up some of our staff, things mm-hmm. like that. And I also get the privilege of being on the teaching team as well. So we try to hold it down for the ladies in the room. So, we're both loving that, because that's new for us at Fuse. A teaching team is new for us. But we're loving getting to be a part of it and figure it out.
So let's talk about that. I mean, when you guys came on, what did you see as your biggest challenge that you had to take on with this ministry?
When both of us first came on?
Yeah.
Well, when I first came on years ago, I would have said the biggest challenge was getting more people, mm-hmm. Getting more students. When I first came on, we were about 600, 700 students in 2 locations. And the struggle was, I mean, if I'm talking to church leaders and youth pastors, the struggle, to be honest, was how do we make sure they don't rise up against us? If they realize the number that they have, they're going to take us over. So a lot of it was, how do we train up leaders? So I'd say the first few years for sure was, how do we train up leaders here? That was our big, big focus, an obstacle to get over, especially as campus started expanding and leaders got sent out.
Yeah.
It was, hey, now let's recruit and train more leaders. And that's a value for us at Fuse now. That, this was before we had a set vision, set values. We didn't have anything.
Yeah.
I was a 20-year-old. Brad Cooper was 25 at the time. You know, we're just young kids trying to figure it out. But now, so that's how develop leaders became one of our values at Fuse, was it was an obstacle.
Yeah.
At the time, so it just worked its way into our values. So when I first came on, that was the biggest thing, was how do we develop leaders and recruit leaders into our ministry? So,
what did you find was the biggest key to making that happen?
A big part of it was, well, I'd say twofold, that I'd say we're actually having to revisit now, of how to get better at this. But first and foremost, train up the leaders you have well, and they'll go out and be the recruiters for you. I think a lot of churches, or we have even spent a lot of our time spinning our wheels trying to get people in, neglecting the leaders that we currently have. When if they love your ministry, if they love the vision of it, you won't have to recruit, because they'll go out and do it for you. You know, Chipotle makes a great product, makes people fall in love with it. I will go and evangelize Chipotle, and people should come with me because I love it. And I think it's the
Chipotle is great, by the way.
It is. It's awesome. Maybe it's because it's one of the few restaurants we have here in Anderson, South Carolina. But
big city.
Yeah, I think if you focus on the leaders you have, really training them up to not just be volunteers, but to be actual leaders in your ministry, then they will go and get it for you, or go and recruit people for you. And then the second thing is, be very present in the lobbies on Sundays, atriums, in like your kids' ministry. If you are their biggest advocate, they will be yours. We've gotten, you know, a lot of our leaders do both, KidSpring and Fuse, because the biggest relationships, or the biggest field you have for recruitment, is in your lobbies on Sundays. So even now, we're trying to encourage our student pastors more and more to be in your lobbies, form relationships. That's where you're going to be able to invite people.
And that was one of the things when I talked to a pastor last week, was, you know, what happens in the summer when it's a dead season, so to speak. For some people, that's kind of what they see, because kids are on vacation, but it's building those relationships so that on Sundays, they want to come to Sundays, because those leaders that they follow on Wednesdays or whenever you have your Fuse nights are coming to be around those people, and that's that relationship. So it is kind of full circle in that respect.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter how good your event is. If your ministry isn't saturated in relationships, you won't grow.
Yeah.
You won't even sustain.
Oh, absolutely.
So
totally. And Stacey, what would you say? I mean, you're overseeing all of this. And so, what would you say was that biggest challenge that you saw, or maybe the biggest obstacle to your end goal, as you came on?
Well, I do services. So I do everything that from the moment they walk in the doors to they come out the doors. So it's funny, because I get to do that, and then Mer does everything else during the week. So I feel like I have the easiest job, because I have like an hour and a half on a week, and she's like trying to figure out, are our leaders even investing in their lives outside of like, so I feel like I have an easy challenge compared to hers. But when I first came over, I realized very quickly that the focus for our services was, we need to create memorable moments and wow moments and things that people, when they're in the lunch table tomorrow, that they're going to be able to talk about with their friends. And so to some degree and extent, that's very valuable and that's very valid. And in my role, I still think that's a massive priority. But I think in doing that, I got a little sidetracked, and we began to focus on memorable moments and wow moments and videos and all this stuff, rather than the presence of God. And it's something that we've been saying recently about our services, is the most excellent thing we can give someone is the presence of God. And so rather than try and wow them by doing a cover song or a choreographed dance, you know, we're more so like, no.
Which we did.
We've all done it. Yeah.
Times. I mean, not me personally. Helpful, but
I was a part of one. Help me, Lord.
That's awesome.
So yeah, just regaining a new focus, I think, for us as a church as a whole. Hey, let's not just try and wow people, because they can go to the movies and be wowed, or to some party and be wowed. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. Let's be about what he has initiated in the church, meaning a place where the presence of God dwells and where people can come and meet with God and worship and connect yes. with God and teaching mm-hmm. and preaching. And so that's kind of our focus for services now. And so it's taken a massive weight off of my shoulders because I'm not trying to wow people. That's up to God. And I believe through the power of His Holy Spirit, He is going to wow people. So let's create space and time and opportunity for that to happen. And so that's what we're about.
And so you guys, as you kind of make that transition, how is that looking and what's your feedback and what's the response kind of been like?
We've gotten rid of all of our lights. I'm just kidding.
I was like, what? We still love lights.
The response has been quite different across the board. So you've obviously some people, and I'm talking for church now as well, you've obviously had some people in our congregation leave because it's no longer meeting their emotional needs or meeting their wow needs, you know, their entertainment needs for that week, because we don't have all this flashy wow, hey, come get a free t-shirt every few months. Like, we're not doing stuff like that anymore. We're just kind of going back to the basics. Who has God called us to be as a church, and what are we going to be about? And so I think there have been a few people who have left and are maybe not as excited to come to Fuse on Wednesday nights. But we are really, as we said in our email to you, Barclay, rather than try and build numbers, what we're trying to do is build people. And that's what God's about. So yes, well, we have lost some of them, and some of them have gone to different places and spaces. I truly believe that the people we have now, they're going to be receiving so much more from their time at church on Sundays or on Wednesdays, because we're really trying to build people and have people become the individuals that God has called them to be, rather than wow them and get gasps on a Wednesday night. We're truly, really trying to create disciples, which I think is what the Bible has asked us to do.
And so what does that look like? Someone described it as like a youth ministry should be the back pocket, getting in the back pocket of the church. And so do you all not coordinate with your church, but get on board with the same way of thinking of the church? So you're no longer separate, right? So like what you're talking about on Wednesday and the relationships you're building on Wednesday feed right into your church's core values. So when they go in on Sunday, it's like everything's just kind of streamlined. Is that kind of how you guys work with those church leaders outside of your youth ministry?
Yeah, I'd say so. So obviously we have the benefit of the guy who built Fuse in the first place has kind of stepped up, and he's now mainly a Sunday communicator. Mm-hmm. But Brad Cooper, I mean, he is Mr. Fuse. You know, he may be Mr. Sunday now, but he's really Mr. Fuse. He watches it every week. He's always talking to us about it. Mm-hmm. So for our church, especially now, I would say it's kind of hard to separate the two.
Yeah.
It just feels like one big, big heart. The same heart we have for Sunday is the same heart we have for Fuse. One focuses adults, one focuses students. Yeah. But we realize where Sunday goes, Fuse goes, yeah. and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe that, that the change that any church wants to see does start in their student ministry, because I believe that if you aren't reaching your next generation, then the future of your church will eventually die out. I'm sure many people have said that. But yeah, wherever Sunday goes, Fuse goes. But wherever Fuse goes, Sunday goes. So we realize, I wouldn't say it's just Fuse, which I believe we do, that tries to push to Sundays. I'd say it's so much the same as Sunday pushing to mm-hmm. Fuse.
Yeah.
We're always talking about, you know, hey, what's coming up at Fuse this week? They pray art. They play our promo videos in a Sunday service. They promote Gauntlet. You better believe if Brad Cooper's preaching on a Sunday, he's talking about Fuse.
Tell me about Gauntlet. Let's stop there for a second. For those who yeah. don't know what Gauntlet is, tell me what that
right.
is.
Right. Yes. Many people will not know. So Gauntlet is we don't do a ton of huge camps for our students. We do one, and that's in the summer, and it's called the Gauntlet. We go down to Daytona Beach, Florida, you know, which is the most epic place in the world to be, to bring students to. Just kidding. it's something.
Isn't that like biker week down there too?
We try to schedule not on the same week as that.
Yes.
But yeah, so we bus about last year was what, 5,300 students?
Oh my gosh.
Last year there was, I remember in the room, there was 7,000 people total in the room. So yeah,
that was volunteers and students.
5,500 students and 1,000 volunteers and support staff and all that. So it's wild.
It's crazy.
Wild.
So yeah, we do that once a year over the summer.
So I want to talk about you two individually and just how, you know, we talked about what you're running, but let's talk about mentors and the importance of having somebody, having a guide. Like, you guys also have leaders that are building you up and being guides for you. Explain to me the importance of that for each one of you, and what does that look like for you guys?
That's a great question, Barclay. I love that you asked that question.
That's what I'm here for.
Massive impact in my life, I think. But even before I answer that question, I think something that has been so game-changing for Meredith and I is when we learned not to be competitors. And so I think especially for females in ministry, or even young people in ministry, I mean, the tendency is I'm going to compete. I'm going to be the best. In order for me to be the best, I've got to make other people look worse. And rather than be co-laboring, you begin competing. And I think that's where the enemy is able to take a foothold into your life and in your ministry. And so we really need to root that out as quickly as possible and just confess that. And I mean, Mary and I would sit down once a week and have a conversation, like maybe even more than once a week. Hey, I was competitive with you here. Here are my motives. Here's what
that's
I thought.
That's awesome.
At that moment. So I think having a mentor is super valuable. But even beyond that, having friends that you're co-laboring with side by side has been the game changer for me. Mm-hmm. Because I'll see a mentor once a week at most. But yeah, I literally live with her, work with her, try and be friends with her. And
pray for us, whoever's listening to this.
Yes. Y'all are like sisters.
So having friends in ministry, people that you're co-laboring with, people that you're honest with, for me, that's been even more monumental and impactful than a mentor. But yet, in different seasons of life, I will have different mentors. You know, I've had one lady who, ever since I became a Christian, she's been my spiritual mom. And that was when I was 14. So she's still been in my life some, goodness me, how many years is that? Some 12, 13 years later.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I came on staff at New Spring, there were other ladies who I approached and asked to just meet with and if I could be brutally honest with them on a regular basis. So for me, that's what mentoring looks like. And then I'm trying to do that for younger ladies who are coming up through student ministry too. So
yeah,
that's what it looks like for me.
Yeah.
Cool. That's great.
I would agree wholeheartedly with, I think mentors are great. I totally agree with what Stace said of sometimes the best mentor, because really we got a mentors, right? Because we want to get better. We want to learn.
Yeah.
How did you get where you are? Which I think is great. But, you know, I can't get where I want to go until I know where I am. And the people side by side with me are going to be the best people to tell me where I am. Because yeah. A lot of times I'm not the best at defining where I am, especially as a woman, we're not great with directions. So like Stay said, we're able to, hey, what do you see in me with the people closest to me? What do you see in me that needs to improve? What do you see in my character that maybe is lacking right now? And we definitely have been people who are able to do that side by side. And I'll be honest with you, especially in this season of my life, I'm still trying to figure out what having a mentor looks like. I have a lot of guys who are incredible mentors to me. Not as many women right now. So I'm definitely, I'm trying to seek that out.
Yeah.
But that's, like Stay said, one of the reasons we feel so called to mentor younger ladies is especially as two women who, hey, I feel called to communicate. I feel called to lead.
Yeah.
There aren't that many women around us to look to. And if there was, every other girl in our church was trying to get time with them. So they're like drowning in coffees and lunches. So we've been trying to provide that for other younger women in the church and train them up to be mentors so that they can do that for other women as well. So
that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. A little zigger. What's the last book that you guys read?
Finished? Cause I'm in the middle of one.
Oh, I'm in the middle of like 30 different books. Yeah. Finished.
First Corinthians. Does that count?
That counts.
I'm reading one by Dallas Willard right now, who's an incredible author. It's called, hearing God. Oh, goodness. I bet you I got that wrong.
Is that? I've never heard that.
Something about hearing God.
Hearing from God or something like that. And it's been really, really awesome for me.
That's awesome. Mary?
I can't remember. I'm in the middle of a book, yeah, again, called Case for Christ.
I
didn't even know the movie was coming out. I feel kind of like, oh, she's just reading that because the movie came out. I have no idea. I'm trying to figure out how to explain Jesus, you know, in a more intelligent way sometime. Yeah, all of his books are great. But this isn't the last book I read, but the most recent one that I can remember really affecting me was Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. It's an oldie, but a good one. Did you read it too?
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Also, you can't look past Francine Rivers, Redeeming Love. Heyo.
What is it called?
Redeeming Love.
Don't listen.
Best novel you will ever read.
Guys on this podcast.
Yeah, but all the girls have to read it. Okay, ladies,
for those ladies listening, that's awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Y'all are hilarious.
To give you some context, it is a like modern telling of Hosea, but in like the gold rush era.
It's so good. Anyways.
Who wrote it?
Francine Rivers.
Francine Rivers. All right, I'll have to look that up. That's
weird. But seriously, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, it's about the power of prayer in your church.
Cool.
And I'll tell you right now, and I know this is kind of off topic, at least in our culture, you said, how is the shift happening? How's it going? What's the process look like? I would say the culture of prayer in our church has gone from barely at all to being the wind and fire behind pretty much everything we are doing right now. And that's what this book is all about how to make prayer one of the driving forces behind what God has called you to do as a church. It was awesome.
I think it's so easy to lose focus sometimes. You get bogged down with numbers and events, and like you were saying, Stacey, about just like the light show and everything. And then you just step back and you're like, what's our focus? Like, what's our end game here? And are we completing that in the best possible way with all the resources that we have? So I think that there's something to be commended about by stepping back and taking that chance to say, we know we're going to lose some people, but at the end of the day, they'll end up where they need to be at the church that's fit for them. You just have to be prepared for that. We spoke to someone last week out of Illinois, and he's like, we merged a church and we knew we were going to lose people, but those people just are called to go to another church then, and we need to take care of those who are within our church now. So I think that's awesome, and I think that y'all have so much ahead of you, and New Spring is so blessed to have you guys. And you're just awesome anyway. Y'all are just a joy to talk to, so I appreciate it. And thank you so much. And when's Gauntlet?
It's the last week of July.
Awesome. You guys are excited. I mean, and you have more this year? Do you get more and more every year, I'm sure?
More students?
Yeah.
It's not really fit too we're much kinda, more. We're in the arena.
We tapped out last year, so...
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it is.
That's great.
That's good.